This year alone, according to the ACLU, at least 31 state legislatures have introduced bills that target transgender youth. These bills try to make it more difficult for trans kids to receive gender-affirming medical care or to stop it altogether. In many cases, these bills are not the result of grassroots activism. Instead, they're being pushed by a national network inspired by the religious right. Madison Pauley, a reporter at Mother Jones, writes about this in her piece, Inside the Secret Working Group that Helped Push Anti-Trans Laws Across the Country. And she joins us now. Madison, good to have you. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start by talking specifically about what these bills are trying to do. What kind of legislation are we talking about here?
Right. So these are bills that are designed to restrict the ability of transgender people to access medical treatments that affirm their gender identity. That medical care usually means puberty blockers for pubescent children to sort of give them more time as they're growing up before they enter puberty where their bodies start changing. And they're enforced by a variety of mechanisms. Some criminalize doctors that provide this medical care. Some create mechanisms to revoke their licenses. The enforcement is different from bill to bill, but the end goal is the same, to roll back medical care for trans kids.
Tell us something about the groups behind this wave of legislation. Who are they?
Absolutely. Back in 2019, when one of the first significant bills to do this was being crafted, you had this whole slate of conservative, often religious interest groups weighing in. So that includes the Alliance Defending Freedom. They are a religious right legal behemoth. They have been behind drafts of sports and bathroom bans targeting trans kids in public schools. In the past, they've defended state-sanctioned sterilization of trans people in Europe, and they've also been involved in a lot of Supreme Court cases with implications for LGBTQ rights. Another group is the American College of Pediatricians. They have sort of an innocent-sounding name. It sounds like the American Academy of Pediatricians, but they're actually far more of a fringe group. Again, religious conservative doctors. And both of these groups, Alliance Defending Freedom, American College of Pediatricians, have strong anti-LGBTQ views and also strong anti-abortion views. They're heavily involved in that fight as well.
Now, your reporting is based on a series of emails that you obtained between local lawmakers and these organizations in the anti-trans movement. What did you learn from these emails?
Yes, the emails that I got cover the period from 2019 to 2020 mainly, which is right when we started seeing the first coordinated effort. The emails essentially are proof of the Alliance Defending Freedom, AC PEDS, and other groups being involved from the very beginning. This bill in South Dakota that was introduced in 2020 by Representative Fred Deutsch, according to the emails, was workshopped by these groups, both the bill language, talking points, responses to opposition. They came up with testimony together, all to push this bill in 2020. And while it failed that year in South Dakota, bills with language that's very similar to it were introduced in 9 other states. So already you can start to see this national coordinated push emerge. And I think having evidence of these groups, some of which are classified as anti-LGBTQ hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center behind it, was very telling and very revealing to me.
I want to ask you sort of a big picture question about this, because in pretty much any big picture debate around policy, you're going to have advocacy groups and lobbyists working with politicians. There's nothing illegal about that. But in what ways are you troubled by these national conservative and religious groups coming into states and really helping to shape this kind of legislation?
Right. I mean, it's a great point. This is how the sausage is made often. And that's actually what the ADF said to me when I went to them for comment on this story. They said lawmakers often seek advice from experts in law, policy, medicine, and other fields as they craft legislation. But even though it might not be illegal, I think it really matters. And I think it matters to residents of all the different states who has influence on their legislators, who has influence on their laws. And so when you go back to these laws being edited, being workshopped, their talking points being honed by groups that have been designated by the Southern Poverty Law Center as anti-LGBT hate groups, have long sort of robust histories of opposing LGBTQ rights that I think matters to the people who are standing up and trying to figure out, is this something that I think my legislators should be supporting themselves?
Right.
This legislation may seem to be more organic if you don't know all of this backstory, which, you know, has been hidden, I think, from most people's view for a long time, especially if you're just looking in your own state in a sort of isolated battle over one bill, might not see the larger picture of these same bills being introduced over and over and over in different places.
Right.
It's also not uncommon for the people who are in support of these restrictive laws to say, you know, we were approached by concerned parents. One of the groups that shows up in the emails that I received, called the Eagle Forum of Alabama, has said in a recent press release that parents, concerned parents, were the reason that they got involved in pushing the ban on gender-affirming care in their state, which did ultimately pass and is currently on hold in court. So what these emails show is that, in the words of one of their staff members, they were coached by this lawmaker in South Dakota, and they were coached by the American College of Pediatricians to lead a coalition bringing this. It may appear to be more organic if you're just taking the supporters of this legislation at their word.
Yeah, I want to ask you about messaging here. You found that one of these groups, the Liberty Council, advised an anti-trans group to avoid using words like transgender, cisgender, or non-binary, because they say that using the other side's language to frame the debate would hurt their cause.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the importance that you see in language in particular in this debate, and how these groups are using language?
Yeah, Anthony, I think that's really key, because in that quote from the emails in particular, you see this insistence that they cannot acknowledge that trans people exist.
Hmm.
And that's a common theme that comes up throughout the emails, is a belief that no one is truly transgender. They use other words, other language, like lie, delusion, insane, to characterize the idea that anyone might identify as transgender, especially young people. So you see this come up in the way that they craft the bill language. They tried to write in a way that would avoid referring to gender as a discrete concept from sex. First, they tried language like children who have an incorrect perception of their sex, or whose perception of their sex does not match their sex. They're trying to find language that doesn't even acknowledge this idea that people can have a gender identity that does not match their sex assigned at birth.
Right. Finally, Madison, talk a little bit about the greatest takeaway for you about the groups behind this current wave of legislation.
I think the greatest takeaway for me is that this network is truly been nationwide since the beginning. You have this lawmaker who the reporting centered on, Fred Deutsch in South Dakota. You also had a representative in Idaho, Julianne Young, who is pushing a bill that the same group helped to craft that would have stopped people from changing the gender marker on their birth certificate. You have references to Representative Anthony Sabatini in Florida, who introduced a Vulnerable Child Protection Act, quote unquote, that year in 2020, and Representative Ginny Earhart in Georgia, who agreed to do so after being approached by some of the members of this group. All of this is documented in the emails. So today, as we see, 31 states, like you mentioned earlier, have these bills or bills that would accomplish the same thing, even if they don't use the same exact language. It really shows that this was a coordinated effort from the beginning, as you see this network acting behind the scenes.
Mm. Well, that's Madison Pauley of Mother Jones. Her latest piece is entitled Inside the Secret Working Group That Helped Push Anti-Trans Laws Across the Country. Madison, thanks so much for joining us today, and thanks for your reporting.
Thanks for having me.